This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. I'm Alexandria Brown. Right now, we'll be turning it over to the Arkansas State Capitol, where Governor Asa Hutchinson will be giving his weekly live press briefing on the coronavirus pandemic. As we wait for the governor, I'll give yesterday's COVID-19 report. The number of active COVID-19 cases in Arkansas continues to decline. The State Department of Health said Monday there were 93 fewer people suffering the effects of the virus compared to Sunday. 4 deaths were reported, along with 69 new cases of people testing positive for the virus. Most of those were in Northwest Arkansas, with 18 in Benton, 11 in Washington County, and Pulaski County in Central Arkansas having 10 cases. The governor has now entered and will take the podium.
Hello, Eddie. Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining me for today's weekly COVID-19 update. We have some very important topics to address today, particularly on the urgency of getting the vaccine out in Arkansas, and also to address the J&J vaccine and the CDC discussion on that. Let me first recognize those that are with me today. Please be joined by Secretary Johnny Key of the Department of Education, and of course, Secretary Jose Romero, who's playing a key role with the CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices that he chairs. We have Secretary Solomon Graves today from the Department of Corrections, who will give a report on our inmate vaccination program, which a lot of people across Arkansas have expressed concern about, and that is proceeding well. Thank you, Colonel Ader, for continuing to lead the rollout effort. First, let me go to the case and vaccine update on the graph that tells the story. On the top left, you'll see the cases, and we have total cases, new cases of 224. That is a larger number than a week ago. We have an increase in the active cases of 23. And then the deaths, as been noted, we had 0 deaths for, I believe, 3 days in a row. And now we're back up to 8. I'll look forward to the day that that's a constant figure of 0. But we have 8 additional deaths. If you look on the hospitalization side, that is continued good news, with 8 reduction in our hospitalization, with 2 additional ones on ventilator. And so the case report, as you can see, and look at the counties on the right side, 55 new cases in Washington County, 36 new cases in Pulaski, and 34 in Benton. Our testing remains at a modest level. We have some discussions about that, and certainly with the low case number, people are not getting tested to the same extent, but they are getting tested whenever they feel ill. And so our positivity rate, which I will discuss, has edged up just a tad, which is another area of concern for us. On the vaccination front, we're slow over the weekend, but it picks up again in the week. We had 23,000 doses given out in the last 24 hours, which is a good number. We want to continue to see that at high level, and we're continuing to increase the number that is fully immunized. A percent of the doses that have been given out is 70%. We have some that's in reserve for the second dose application, and some is simply there because we don't have the demand. We want to increase the demand. The doses are there. And that leads me to the next slide, which is a discussion on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And Dr. Romero will have more to say about this, but first of all, we respect the CDC decision and the White House recommendation on a pause, on a short pause, and we will follow that in Arkansas. We will continue our vaccination program uninterrupted. It continues at a rapid pace, and no one should delay getting a vaccination because of the pause on one part of the vaccination. We have the supply currently on hand in Arkansas to meet the demand needs of our state. No one should slow down and say, well, because of this, I'm going to wait. Don't wait. Get the vaccine now. It is critically important, and I'll explain some of these reasons in just a moment. I would emphasize that we, and I discussed this with Dr. Romero, we have confidence in the J&J vaccine, but it is on pause to be sure on the treatment of any adverse reaction. And as I was on the White House call today with the CDC, with Dr. Fauci as well and others, and they emphasize that when you're looking at, on a percentage basis, six cases out of 6.8 million doses, that's less than one out of a million chances. Obviously, it's an effective vaccine, but because of that reaction, we want to make sure that the physician community, the healthcare, have the right information on the treatment of any adverse reaction. So that is the reason for the pause, and we'll continue to monitor that. And so just to illustrate it, though, in terms of the graphics, we have Pfizer and Moderna vaccines supply this week and last week. We've had an increase, which will continue. The Janssen vaccine, this was this week's supply. Last week we had 43,500, but it's down 38,300 before this pause. And the reason was because the Baltimore facility that had some issues, so that it reduced the flow of Janssen vaccine to our state. And so that is even before the pause that we had a reduction in it. And so we were prepared for that reduction, and it did not come as we still have adequate supply. And then if you look at the doses on hand, and we have 245,000 Pfizer doses on hand in Arkansas, 178,000 Moderna doses, and 63,000 Janssen doses are in our inventory. Of those, 20% are reserved for second doses, and 20% are being saved for some mass planned events. And you say, well, why are we not getting more of those out? And the answer is you. We need you to get your vaccination. We have the doses available to get into your arm. Please do not delay. Get your appointment and get it done. There is that opportunity for you, and nothing will slow it down. Now let's go to the important, well, first of all, the vaccine call line. Please call it. Call that number, and there will be those that can help you identify where the best place is for you to get your vaccination. We have a list of all of the clinics. We have a list of the pharmacies that have it available, so we can get you pointed in the right direction. Secondly, if you're homebound, please feel free to call the vaccine call line, because we're going to be utilizing one of our contractors, the Association Foundation for Medical Care, that will be in the process of going to homebound. We can use our local clinics so that we can deliver, and we can make sure that you're hooked up with somebody that can get you the vaccine. So call that number, and we'll make sure that happens. As we've mentioned, sometimes there's a reluctance of getting a second dose, or somebody just doesn't make their appointment. We're going to utilize one of our contractors, again, AFMC, that will start using to do reminder calls for the second dose. So if you didn't get that second dose, you might expect a call saying, please go in and get that second dose, because we want you fully immunized. That will start this Saturday, and that's part of an announcement that I wanted to make on that point today. And then I wanted to emphasize the importance of getting the vaccine. This is Arkansas versus Michigan. It's not in sports. This is a comparison of our trend lines with COVID-19. And if you go back here, you can see the white line is the Michigan trend line, and the orange one is the Arkansas trend line. And you can see how we go in different time frames. And so in December 8th was Michigan's first peak. We were down, of course, then. And then Michigan dropped, and then we went up to our first peak in January 10th. And so our first peak was what? 32 days, 1 month away from Michigan's first peak. And then Arkansas came down after that first peak to where we were in February, and we've continued low. Michigan came down gradually, and they also reached their low point in February. And then Michigan skyrocketed. They went up on that white line to their second peak, which is April 9th. Now, if you looked at what happened on the first peak and Arkansas's peak, we're 32 days apart. The question is, will we go up and peak again, just as we followed Michigan and some of the other states before? We lag behind them in our trend line. Now, that's why we're at a crossroads. And we can avoid that second peak if it comes. We can avoid that second peak by making sure we protect ourselves, but that puts us on the race to a vaccine. Get the vaccine. We need everyone to participate in this. Don't delay, because we are in a race. We're in a race against time to get the vaccinations out before we start going up in our cases again. At least that's the trend line that we've seen in other states. And then I think that's, I did want to point out another concern is the positivity rate. From August to the present, the 7-day rolling average percent positivity that includes PCR and antigen tests, you can see how high we were at our peak in January in positivity rate, getting up to 18%. Now we're back down, but you can see a slight tick up in the positivity rate. And the concern is that that slight tick up in the positivity rate is the reason we had a little bit higher number in cases. So beware that the virus is still here and that we need to get our vaccination. With that, I wanted to recognize Dr. Romero first, and he has been on a call, and he'll leave and go on the call as soon as he makes his remarks, and he will be chairing the ACIP committee tomorrow with the CDC, has asked them to look at the Janssen vaccine, and so that's a very important meeting that he will be chairing tomorrow. But Dr. Romero.
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero will now take the podium.
Thank you, Governor. So as the Governor has stated, we have noticed through the VAERS reporting system that we have six cases of cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, or CVST, reported in this country in individuals that have received the Janssen or Johnson & Johnson vaccine. These cases have all occurred in females. The ages range from 18 to 48. And they occur within the first 2 weeks of administration of the vaccine. This is an important finding. It is a positive finding in that our systems for detecting these types of very rare events is working successfully. So we had in place and added to that additional systems designed to specifically to detect those very rare events that could be associated with these vaccines. The VAERS system has been in existence for very many decades, as have several of the other systems. We use five to detect them. So this is a success story, and is one of the reasons why we have the safest vaccine programs in the world. The company is presenting to the ACIP at this time. The work group of the COVID vaccines are taking information from them, and that information will be made available through a public meeting tomorrow, detailing these specific cases. So as the governor mentioned, we believe it is prudent at this time to pause in our administration of the Janssen vaccine until we have more information. And in particular, because this is an unusual manifestation of thrombosis, we want physicians to understand that this treatment for this particular disease is not your standard treatment. And so there will be a HAN, a Health Alert Network notification about this, and we'll provide information for treatment. You can always reach out, the physicians and care providers can reach out to the health department, where our physicians can provide you with information. And I'll stop here, Governor.
And if you need to go,
I can wait.
And then Secretary Graves has a very good report about vaccination program in our Department of Corrections.
Secretary Solomon Graves with the Department of Corrections will now take the podium.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to begin real quick with an update on our case counts within the Department of Corrections. As of this morning, we have 48 active cases among our offender population. All of those cases are related to new intakes into the system and not originating from infections within one of our facilities. We also have four staff who are currently out with diagnosed COVID-19. As of this morning, we have administered 3,333 doses of a COVID vaccine to DOC employees throughout our various divisions. Of that amount, 2,353 doses were administered through a department vaccination clinic. Within our offender population, we have begun a vaccination plan using the two-dose Moderna vaccine, where we expect to vaccinate 7,454 inmates at the end of this vaccination schedule. That number is based on surveys of our inmate staff and where inmates indicated their planned acceptance of the vaccine. To date, we have administered 719 doses of the Moderna vaccine. The first doses will all be administered by April 21st. Second doses will be administered by May the 19th.
Regarding education,
education
has been
Secretary
reported, we have only seen one additional school that has made adjustments for on-site learning, and that was in McCrory. We have not at this point seen any indication of a spike that we thought could happen post spring break. We are past the 2-week mark now, and we hope that number continues to show steady. But and then the last thing I'll report as far as getting back to normal in our schools, last week we completed nearly 300,000 administrations of the ACT Aspire test around the state, which is a very strong first week, and that continues for the next several weeks. We are happy with all the work that the schools are doing to continue to finish this school year in a safe way.
Thanks, Secretary Key. And with that, we'd be happy to take any questions.
In terms of the pause on Johnson & Johnson, what does that mean does that mean nobody should be giving any doses of Johnson & Johnson as of today? Or for people who already have appointments, what does that mean?
Well, if you have an appointment and they have access to the Moderna or the Pfizer, absolutely, go to your appointment. And most of our pharmacies have those doses. The Janssen was being used in some specialized area. So check that. I would expect and hope that you'd be able to keep that appointment. You should plan on it. Obviously, during this time, for example, we had some state clinics that were going to be using the Janssen. We've postponed those until the pause is lifted. So it does have an impact on in some areas. But we hope that will be very short-lived. Colonel, do you have anything else on that?
Okay. Those 6 cases where they had the blood clots, were any of those in Arkansas?
Romero? Nope. Let's go remotely. Is there any questions remotely? Let's start with Central Arkansas, then we'll go to Northwest. Central?
Yes, this is Alex with Channel 7. What would you tell Arkansans who've gotten the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and are now concerned? And what are you going to be doing with the doses? Are any of them going to waste?
First of all, the doses that we have in inventory, they're appropriately stored and they're not going to be wasted. In terms of what I would tell those that have received the Janssen, thank you for getting it. It remains effective, and so you have got a vaccination that works. And that's what I would tell them, and they should not have any worry. Obviously, if there's anybody that develops the symptoms, they should report that to their doctor. But Dr. Romero, I want to hear from you on this.
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero, back to the podium.
Thank you. So based on information that we have now, if it's been a month or more since you received the Janssen vaccine, your risk is extremely low. For those individuals that are within the first 2 to 3 weeks, signs and symptoms to watch for, the things that you should be looking for are intense headache. That is a very severe migraine, more severe than you've had in the past or the first time you've had a very severe headache. Chest pain, abdominal pain, leg pain. Those things should prompt you to seek medical attention at an emergency room and allow those doctors to go ahead and examine you. In the case that you receive the Janssen vaccine and you do visit an emergency room, please inform the physicians that you've received the Janssen vaccine and how many days or weeks it's been since the dose was given, excuse me.
Another question?
Hi, yes, this is Mercedes McKay with Channel 11. I'm curious, Governor and Dr. Romero, whether this makes y'all, with this short pause, a little more nervous about those who may have been already hesitant in Arkansas that they will not want to get any vaccine after this pause.
Well, I expressed that concern to the White House today that whenever you say a pause, they need to evaluate this quickly because we want to make sure that people have access to all three vaccines that have been proven effective. And so it's going to be a little bit more of a messaging challenge. We got to rebuild any lack of confidence as a result of this pause. We want to emphasize that you got two vaccines that are not impacted by this that are available. And we hope that the White House is going to have to help us out with the national messaging as to what happens tomorrow in the meetings and the announcement that will be coming up in the CDC. But people should have confidence, and we want to continue to build that. And I think the fact that they're being so transparent should build confidence. I mean, they're disclosing 6 adverse cases out of 6 million. And so that transparency and it's really about treatment should build confidence. We hope that over the long term. Dr. Romero?
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
So to dovetail on what the governor has said, we should feel confident that our system is able to detect these. I also want to point out that the Janssen vaccine is a different platform than the vaccine being used for Pfizer and Moderna. This is the Janssen vaccine is an adenovirus vector vaccine. The others are an mRNA vaccine. Also, please keep in mind that we've already detected adverse events with the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. Some individuals have allergic reactions, and that occurs in about 5 per million or 2.5 per million cases, depending on the vaccine. So this seems to be in line with the type of allergic reactions that we've had, and we will learn more about it. So we are continuing to follow it. We have a system in this country that is very robust for identifying, discovering these adverse events, and we should feel very safe because of that.
Let's go to Northwest. Are there any questions from that region?
Good afternoon. It's Brett Rains with 4029 News. Do we know approximately how long this pause is expected to last? And then second topic, can we clear up any confusion for vaccinations for 16 and 17-year-olds? Is a parent consent form required for that? There's been a little confusion with that. Thank you so much.
Okay. In reference to the second part of the question, do you want to handle that, the consent?
Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
So they are able to obtain vaccine. Vaccines, of course, will be informed to the parent of the child. So we have in our state the ability to have children agree to vaccination if they feel if the parents feel it's appropriate.
And restate the first part of your question.
Do we know any certain? time frame, how long this pause expected to last?
Thank you. The White House, of course, it depends upon the facts, but the White House indicated that they expected to be in terms of days or weeks and not weeks or months. And so that's how they've expressed it. We don't know until they actually have more review of this, but I'm hopeful that it'll be in the shorter time frame versus the longer time frame. Next question.
This is Mike McNeil at MagnoliaReporter.com. I have a question for Dr. Romero. Columbia County has a J&J vaccination clinic set for Thursday. What is this pause going to do to this clinic and others around the state that have set J&J clinics? Are these people, are these clinics going to proceed with a different vaccine?
Let me ask Colonel Ader to answer that, please.
Colonel Robert Ader.
So really, there should be no impact to that. We have plenty of vaccine to be able to back this up. And so that J&J vaccine clinic that was happening in Columbia County was coming from the local health unit. So we expect that we can backfill this with either Pfizer or Moderna. We have plenty of both. And so we'll make sure and we'll work with them to make sure that they're up and running and so the clinic can go forward.
Next question.
Hey, Governor, this is Josh Wagner with KAIT. I was curious, you were talking about the numbers going up and the positive starting to go up. One could look back at this and say that it coincides almost 14 days exactly to when you lifted the mask mandate?
No. No, I don't see any relationship there. And again, there's a very, very slight uptick for like 2 days in cases. We'll see where the trend line is, but it's really not enough to set a trend line yet. Next question. I think we've covered it. Do you have anything back at the table?
Well, just in terms of the Johnson & Johnson, based on what Colonel Ader was saying, do you expect any clinics to be canceled, or do you think that, you know, any of the mass clinics that have been scheduled should be able to just switch out to different vaccine? And also, just to clarify, how hard is the pause in terms of providers? Like, if somebody really wants the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, are you telling the pharmacist they should not give it at this time?
Well, it's a CDC recommendation, and we are respecting that, and we're asking our providers to respect that as well. In terms of the other clinics that are out there, obviously we have the availability of Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine. So it's just really a question of logistics and getting the new supply there if they had scheduled it on a Janssen vaccine. Colonel, we're gonna make sure that's taken care of so there's not any delay.
Very simply, I do think there may be a day delay. You know, so in other words, if they had an event that was going to happen today or tomorrow, that there may be a slight pause while we get the new vaccine to them.
Thank you very much for attention today, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Dr. Romero.
This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. I'm Alexandria Brown. Governor Asa Hutchinson just got done wrapping up his weekly live press briefing on the coronavirus pandemic at the Arkansas State Capitol. Just to give a recap of what was said, Arkansas reported 8 additional deaths, the number of new cases increased by 224, and hospitalizations decreased by 8. He says an area of concern is that testing still remains modest. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is on pause after reports of people getting unusual blood clots. But the governor said the vaccination process in Arkansas will continue with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine still being distributed. He said no one should delay getting the vaccine because one part of it is being delayed when there are still other options to get vaccinated. He says he doesn't know how long the pause will last, and that is up to the White House. The governor says for more vaccines to get out to people, Arkansans have to make more appointments to get one to increase the demand for it. Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero said 6 cases of cerebral venous sinus thrombosis have been reported in this country from people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. He said there will be a public meeting tomorrow about the cases. Romero says it's important that the state does pause distribution on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine as they keep an eye on the cases and provide more information to the public, since he said this is a rare manifestation. Romero said that if you have gotten the Janssen vaccine in the last month, your chances of getting CVST are low. He says people should still be confident in the vaccines. Solomon Graves with the Department of Corrections says that they announced a plan that they expect to vaccinate thousands of inmates with the Moderna and Pfizer vaccination plan. And Colonel Robert Ader said that people shouldn't worry because plenty of vaccines for Moderna and Pfizer will be distributed to people who have mass vaccination clinics coming up. And just to give a recap of what the report for COVID-19 was today, Arkansas reported 8 additional deaths, the number of new cases increased by 224, and hospitalizations decreased by 8. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. We will now return to Here and Now, that's already in progress.